Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office equipment solutions North America wide?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. 134 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. Oilers in Vancouver tonight. They practice today. They're down a bunch of defensemen. I mean, Oscar Klefbom, we know, gone for the year on LTIR. Slater Cuckoo moved to LTIR today after breaking his collarbone. Ethan Bear currently on IR today, skated today. Dave Tippett says he's not quite ready. William Lagesson might be the closest to returning, and maybe a little bit of a surprise as to how well he fit in and played. Maybe not a surprise to our next guest, though, as we head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. We welcome back to the show for our weekly Monday report as we go on the farm with Oilers farm team head coach of the Bakersfield Condors, Jay Woodcroft. Hi, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing good, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for taking time. Couple wins, but before we get to that, just Lagesson. I was watching things closely. I tend to be, and some would say I'm an offensive personality, but I like offense, so I always focus on Evan Bouchard a lot, but I know that you really liked what you saw out of the maturation and progression with Lagesson. You're probably not surprised that when he went in, he did a pretty good job for the Oilers. I think he excited a lot of fans.
Yeah, no, William played very hard for us down here in Bakersfield over the year and a half that he was with us. And I thought, his work ethic allowed him to continue to develop his strengths and work on some of the areas in his game that he needed to get better at to be a full-time NHL hockey player. And, when I think of Bill, I think of someone who is ultra competitive, who is man down low in the trenches in puck battles along the boards and around the blue paint. He makes other teams pay a price. And, I think he's just continued to get better. Last year, he didn't just the way the nature of the year went, he didn't play a ton of games. So for him to get a healthy look this year and make very good on it, I think it's exciting for him personally. I think it's exciting for the organization to see another kind of late round draft pick develop into an NHL hockey player. I think it's a success story for our scouts, for our development team, and at the end of the day, for the Oilers in general.
All right. Well, and you didn't take any credit that. And I'm watching Bear and Jones, who you had, Bouchard, who you had, Lagesson, who you had. Dave Manson played in the National Hockey League a long time and almost had to kind of reinvent himself a bit. At one time, he was sort of he was always tough, but an offensive-minded defenseman, then came more of a shutdown guy. How much does it help having a guy like that had that much experience in the National Hockey League on your coaching staff?
Yeah, I think the world of Dave. I mean, you talk about someone and his range of experiences. And the very first thing I think of with Dave is that he was a first-round draft pick. He was in the NHL as a very, very young man. So he learned how to survive and learned from some good veterans on that Blackhawk D-Core. He ended up playing over 1,000 games. He scored over 100 goals. He was an NHL All-Star at one point and one of the most feared men in the game. And so that's a very unique range of experiences that he can draw on as a coach. What I like about him as a coach is that this is someone who didn't just expect to walk into, running an NHL decor after a long NHL career. He's a guy that actually moved his family back to Prince Albert. He is somebody who spent a lot of time with youth hockey and cutting his teeth, learning how to teach the next generation of player. He worked for the PA Raiders for a long, long time, and he had a good viewing of what was coming down the pipe in terms of young players, what they responded to, and he's just been an excellent addition to our coaching staff, and very proud of the fact that we've developed those D-men over the last two and a half years and whatnot. We're also very proud of the forwards that we've sent up the food chain. We're very proud of the amount of first-time NHL recalls. I think with Lindstrom getting called up, that's our 10th in 3 years. So guys getting called up to the NHL for the first time in their career. So those are all things when we sit back as a coaching staff down here in Bakersfield, we're like proud parents when we see these guys go up. And, it's exciting times for the organization for sure.
All right. Well, you brought up Theodore Lindstrom, and obviously he has to do a little bit of a quarantine. So we didn't see him on the ice today. What are we looking at here? How did he play for you in the first seven games of the season?
Yeah, I think first thing I think about with Theodore is that he's ultra, ultra competitive, just like Lagesson is. So he's in the game. He's not sleepwalking through anything. He's in the game from the moment the puck drops. I think he's professional with his work habits. So he's not a 21-year-old with his eyes wide open coming into pro hockey, or some European players that come over and their eyes are open by the experience on the small ice. For Theodore, I think he's played at a very high level in the Swedish Elite League. He's professional. He knows how to prepare for games, and for him it was just getting reps at this fast pace, and with the dimensions of the building being a lot different than it is in Europe. And I saw somebody who made poised plays with the puck on breakouts, somebody who wanted to not lead the rush but join the rush, and I saw an effective player. I don't think he's a power play quarterback. I don't think per se, at least not a first unit one. He's somebody that makes good plays with the pucks. I think you can trust him in his own end, and he's learning the game on the North American ice sheet.
Jay Woodcroft is the head coach of the Bakersfield Condors. Bob Stauffer with you, Oilers Now. Jay, I had somebody that saw you guys play this weekend that said, Stauff, you guys might have something with Marcus Niemelainen. Now, when Jack and me saw him at the rookie tournament back in 2017, he was noticeable. Like, he's long and rangy, and he can skate. And then he kind of disappeared, went over to Finland. By my viewing, maybe wasn't quite at the pace as a couple of the other defensemen that were at the NHL training camp in January. That's my own, I could be wrong on that. But you're coaching this guy, and he is a prospect defenseman, a third-rounder, Marcus Niemelainen. Your thoughts?
Yeah, very, very pleasant surprise. He is a 6'5 defenseman that might even be longer than just that height, if you know what I mean. Like, he really gets in people's equipment. What I didn't know about him was how competitive he is. So I think him having that experience at NHL training camp in January, I think that was an eye-opener for him. I think that he got a lesson in NHL work ethic, NHL pace, what's required at an NHL practice, and he used that lessons wisely, and he's come in with a seriousness about him. He's a man of few words. He doesn't, he's not overly verbose, but he's quiet. He goes about his business. He's professional, and I think he's one of the best stories that we have going here this year. He's chipped in offense defensively. He plays against the other team's best players. And, you know, you talk about some of the best hits that we've had this year. It was Marcus Niemelainen, including we're up late in the game on the weekend. We're protecting a 2-0 lead. The other team's pulled their goalie, and the best player on the other team's carrying the puck through the neutral zone. And Marcus stepped up and put him on the bus. And, you know, I really believe that there is something there with him. He keeps getting better, and he's growing before our eyes. So there might be something there down the road with him. And I'm glad that he's continuing to ply his trade with us. And, you know, he'll set himself up to hopefully have a big summer and one day be an NHL option.
We're joined by Jay Woodcroft. Jay, let's talk about the two games this weekend. As you know, we have a heavy analytics base with our fandom here in Edmonton, and there's information to be gained on the NHL. It's a little tough in the American Hockey League, but I'm going to tell the people the numbers over the weekend. You guys outshot San Diego and Henderson 82-45 in the two games. So obviously deserved of the 5-1 and 3-0 victories. So let's start with the victory against San Diego. It's got a real good team, and you guys shut them down pretty good on Friday night and route to the 5-1 victory.
Yeah, it was a good hockey game and a needed result for our team. And I think we talked about this last week.
Yes.
For me, the team all year, we're seeing lots of good signs with. There's the numbers test, and when you go to the numbers, we look at all those things, and we have internal analytics that we look at and whatnot. But we see us out face-offing teams, we see us out shooting teams, we see us out chancing teams on a nightly basis. So it was frustrating when you're not getting the final result, and I think that will come. What comes down is the fact that you want to make sure that the numbers test meets the eye test as well. So you're doing your work, you're reviewing the game, we want to make sure we're seeing things clearly. And at the end of it, we felt, you know, we just have to continue to pound on the positives, to focus on our process, and eventually outcomes take care of themselves. Now, if we were seeing things that we weren't happy with, we would take a different line of thinking and a different tack with our team. But we saw lots of really good things. We had to clean up certain moments in our game, and we stuck with it. And I think that's a good lesson for younger players that are learning how to struggle and emerge, and learning how to figure out coming through a scoring slump, learning how to figure out the little things that it takes to win in professional hockey. And for them to do that at this level, hopefully that translates into prepared NHL hockey players down the road. So on the Friday night game, it was nice to see us build a 3-0 lead in the first period. It allowed us to settle into the game. We ended up dominating possession, dominating the shot clock, and you know, if it worked out for us that we dominated the scoreboard that night. And you know, the next game on the Saturday night against Henderson, it was very similar to a game we played earlier in the year where it was a 1-1 game, and we found a way to not win. This time, and which is a good sign for our team, we're a 0-0 hockey game. We have some injuries. We're down to three lines. We're scrambling. And we're our third game in four nights while the other team was rested for the entire week, and we found a way to stay patient, to stick with it, to make good on the chances that we did get, especially in the third period. And I think that's a good sign for the Bakersfield Condors going forward.
Going to ask you about a couple of prospects. I told you I was going to ask you about Ryan McLeod every week. He scored in both games. That's important for him, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought so. And, you know, with Ryan, for him to get a little bit of offensive success, we were quite happy with that. And, you know, the challenge with Ryan is just making sure that he's hanging around those red zone areas. And I think if you looked at both of those goals, he's right where he needed to be. So that's seeing some progress in his game. We're continuing to pound on making sure that he gets his nose dirty in search of offense, that he doesn't glide through the competitive areas, that he fights for his space and commands his share of the ice. And, you know, his skating, you know, it's takes care of itself. He's over 50% in the circle, which is a good sign for a young centerman, and he's competing and above his check defensively. So for us, we're just trying to continue to grow that part of his game, the offensive part, and for him to get rewarded with two goals, I think it's bodes well for him going forward.
You know, there was a lot of discussion about the addition of Quine. He's been a little quiet to start the year. Tyler Benson has 4 points in five games, but the two guys that have kind of led your team offensively so far have been Marody and Gambardella, and they're almost, you know, they're still on NHL contracts, and Cooper's trying to bounce back after a couple concussions. Maybe just a quick rip on those two guys.
Yeah, Coop, number one, he's healthy for the first time, like truly healthy for the first time in a long time. So to see him performing the way he is very positive for us and very positive for the organization. He's feeling it offensively. He scored a great goal in San Diego where he beat an NHL defenseman one-on-one and found a way to finish it off. He is making plays on the power play. He is has a natural chemistry with Benson. I've played him with McLeod and Benson over the last two games. And, you know, I think it's positive just for his own mental well-being that he's healthy, number one, and that he's finding some offense. And I think it's a derivative of his competition level. It's been great so far, and we're going to continue to rely on him going forward. In terms of Gambardella, Gambo had a tough year last year. It wasn't exactly smooth. It was, you know, but he found a way to contribute and be a relied upon guy. And for him to come into this season and find some early success, I think it bodes well for him. He is a blood and guts junkyard dog. His game is one of effort and second effort and third effort. He's a guy that creates chances on the forecheck with a strong stick and creates chances by tracking back to our end hard and turning pucks over. And so far through the first seven games, we're really seeing that.
What's the schedule like this week, Jay?
A little bit later on our schedule this week, where we have one game on Thursday night in San Jose. So it's a little bit of a development week for us and allows us to touch up on some areas that we want to continue to improve. And, yeah, we're excited about it. And, you know, we know that nobody's self-satisfied with a couple wins. We're just continuing to focus on us and focus on our process and putting that mindset forward.
Jay, always appreciate the time. Thanks for the update.
Thanks, Bob. Take care.
You bet. That is the head coach of the Bakersfield Condors, Jay Woodcroft. Royal Pizza, pizza, pasta, and so much more. Edmonton-owned and operated for over 50 years, Royal Pizza offers curbside pickup and takeout options for a menu and a list of their 13 Edmonton and area locations. Go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. Just a couple college updates for you. Wisconsin got 3 out of a possible 4 points in a series with Notre Dame. 4 assists in 2 games for Dylan Holloway, including 3. In the Saturday game, which was a 6-5 shootout loss. He actually won a faceoff on the game-tying goal in the final 30 seconds. Dylan Holloway has 8 goals and 29 points in 16 games this season, and he's having a terrific year. I know the comments. You heard Brian Lott on Wednesday's show last week saying Ken Holland may not want to hear this, but he's of the belief that Holloway can give the Oilers something when he's done the end of this NCAA season. He's got nothing left to prove in the NCAA. And the Oilers have got some prospect D's still coming as well. Lavoie had a 4-point week, or 4-point game, playing for Väsby. They got Kemp at Väsby. Sam Marukov out with a separated shoulder for the season. So that's an unfortunate, break there. But the Oilers have got some defensemen coming, and Niemelainen's not a guy we've talked a lot about, but there are some people in the organization that are very excited about him. All right, here we go. This day in Oilers history brought to you by Dennis and Jason Laliberti, the team at New West Travel. We're going to go back to 1984. Here's Brendan Escott.
Wayne Gretzky ties his own NHL record from the 81-82 season with his 10th hat trick of the year. He scored 4 goals and added an assist. The Oilers hammered the Penguins 9-2 in Pittsburgh. It was Gretzky's second 4-goal game in as many days.
Well, it was a turtle derby in 84 between Pittsburgh and New Jersey. And Pittsburgh won. and got Mario Lemieux. New Jersey got Kirk Muller, who ironically is one of Wayne Gretzky's best friends and just a tremendous guy. You'll hear Kirk at some point down the road on our show when the Oilers end up playing against the Montreal Canadiens. Reed Wilkins has got a long shift ahead of him, but if we can maybe tease a little bit what he's got with Inside Sports, Brendan.
Certainly. You'll hear the latest from Oilers practice with some injury updates there, as well as from Camrose Kodiak's assistant coach Richard Patois and Edmonton football team running back James Wilder Jr.
Jalen Nye is off today, and so guest hosts Reed Wilkins and Daryl McIntyre will be hosting 6:30 Chet afternoons today from 2 until 6. We'll be back tomorrow. It's a fluid show tomorrow, but I will tell you, we have Mark Spector on the show for the horses and horse race in Alberta. Our province's horse racing and breeding industry has introduced new safety protocols with thorough vet checks, stricter rules, and tougher penalties employing Albertans and caring for our horses, horse racing Alberta. I know HRA sponsors Eric Francis down in Calgary as well. Eric had some comments, I guess, on Friday night's game about the Oilers' lack of depth in a game in which the Oilers didn't get a point from McDavid and Draisaitl and found a way to win 2-1 and then won 7-1 on Saturday. Everybody's entitled to their opinions, and sometimes timing doesn't work out to people making comments as well. I do believe, now I got to remember, who else did Calgary have on the panel that night? Matt Stajan did think that the Oilers had more depth up front. So there you go. They took two different sides. Those things happen. It's all good. Have a tremendous Monday. Again, up next, the global news weather traffic update with Eileen. And then Daryl McIntyre and Reed Wilkins with the 6:30 Chat afternoon. So long, everybody.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 6:30 Chat.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.